That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. This is Brady and Walker. Watch it on Sportsnet 360. Hear it on sportsnet.ca/590 and Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Hey, y'all, it's Brady and Walker. It is Tuesday, the 26th of May. Hope everyone's doing great. We are Greg Brady, Andrew Walker. So sometimes things aren't as they seem, right? The Owls, the concept of a semifinal in sport. What's the concept of it? Well, play it out so that the two best teams meet in the final, or finals, if you're in the NBA. That's always the concept. You don't want the two best teams going against each other in the semifinals. I don't care if it's a high school badminton tournament. Yeah, that happened to me. It was a ripoff. Is it a flawed system? Sure. Does that make it more fun? Yes. We joke about junior varsity. That was the AFC, right, from about 1989 to 1997. Sorry, that was the Bills' glory era. But sorry, Bills, you were playing in the junior varsity. I don't know if you know. It's been basketball's Eastern Conference pretty much since Michael Jordan retired. The odd title for Kevin Garnett and the Celtics and those try-hard Detroit Pistons in 2004, but pretty much the West has ruled things, and we're starting to feel that way in the Western Conference. This has been the third amazing Western Conference NHL final in a row. Chicago and Anaheim have been outstanding, three beyond compelling overtime games. The Ducks may still lose this series with an overtime loss in Game 6 and an overtime loss in Game 7, and they'd go out without having lost a game in regulation. No one's complaining. No one wants the Stanley Cup final to start. You may if you're the Rangers or Tampa, but you don't want this series to end. Let's make it a best of nine, and I don't think anyone will complain.
This is Brady and Walker. Online at sportsnet.ca/590. On TV at Sportsnet 360. And on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan. Got something to say? Say it on Twitter at Brady and Walker. Or text 590-590. Now here are Greg Brady and Andrew Walker.
Good afternoon. It is Brady and Walker. Tuesday, May the 26th, 2015. I'm Andrew Walker. He is Greg Brady, our 1 o'clock hour. Lots to get to today. We will talk about the Toronto Blue Jays. Drew Hutchison, who is magnificent last night, is going to join us at 2:10. And Kelly Rudy in about 10 or 15 minutes.
He was almost magnificent last night and every night before
right.
that.
Yeah. He'll join us to talk about, these conference final series that we're seeing. And I agree with you. Like, what do you want when you get to this point? And I've heard this from people, and I can understand it. First round, unbelievable in the Stanley Cup playoffs. Stanley Cup final, with the anticipation that someone's going to hoist the Stanley Cup, it's back on. Rounds two and rounds three, when people are barbecuing and you're going to ball games and you're all of that, I understand. They can meld into each other a little bit. Last night was
best game of the series.
Easily. Last game was pretty good, too. But it was one of the more fascinating games to watch that we've seen all playoffs. You had a Hawks team that just gets dominated in the first period. I mean, Anaheim looks like they're separating a little bit in this series. But then you have, there's no other way to put it, right? It's the resiliency of a championship club. And that's what we've seen with Chicago. And the big player in all of this was a guy that I think has been one of the standout guys in the entire postseason, and that's Ducks goaltender Freddie Anderson.
Yeah. Yeah, but
It wasn't what a collapse by Anaheim. It was Jonathan Toews finding a way to the net and Freddie Anderson having easily his worst game of the playoffs.
Yes and no. It's Toews doing what he does. Like I said last night on Twitter, clutch. It drives me crazy when people overdo it. But it drives me equally crazy when people pretend it doesn't exist, that a clutch baseball player treats an at-bat in late September like he does in mid-April in a matinee game. No, he doesn't. And that's a moment last night for Jonathan Toews. And how can anyone deny that it's a thing? And Freddie Anderson, had they lost that game, it's not an elimination game. I still do not feel. I know there's Blackhawk fans waking up this morning saying that was our moment. We had them on the run going into overtime. We had them scared. We had them skittish. Their own fans were nervous. I think you'd rather be the road team in that scenario, right? Going into that kind of overtime period, right? You'd rather be Chicago playing in Anaheim, scaring the bejabbers out of the Ducks fans and the Ducks players and the Ducks coaching staff. And it just, it ended on a, and you were right last night, terrible dump in by Brian Bickell. Johnny Oduya got caught a little bit thinking the puck's going in deep, and boom, 2-on-1, Ryan Kessler leads it out, and an easy open net goal, really, for Matt Beleski.
It was, well,
so fast, first shift.
Not to always bring it up, but we remember Game 7, the Leafs and the Bruins. And I'm sitting there in Calgary watching this game. And, I mean, right, nightmarish. 3 goals in the third. We're going to overtime. I still thought, because they had gotten to that intermission, like, the Leafs had a chance to win that game. And I turned to whoever I was watching with at the time. I said, watch the Leafs come out and score early in this game. Just because it kind of defies the script a little bit. This is kind of what happened. Like, if you're a Ducks fan last night, your heart's in your throat because you're up 2 with 2 minutes to go. And you've played a really, really solid hockey game. And the 2 goals that went in were kind of both on Freddie Anderson. The Ducks were the better team through 60 minutes. Then all of a sudden, before you know it, it's tied. And, I mean, that is, if the Anaheim Ducks end up lifting the Stanley Cup this year, I think we go back to this game. I really do.
Are you equally with me that the Blackhawks are far from finished? They get their home game. I don't think they play with house money in Game 7. They have won Game 7s on the road before. That's not a thing for them. Not in the least.
You can't count out Chicago. They've established themselves to at least make us give them that respect, right? Thing is, I think Freddie Anderson has been a revelation. I think he's been fantastic in this playoffs. I think Anaheim's been fantastic. And then last night, it's amazing. You have one unbelievable playoff run, and you're in Game 5 of the Western Conference Final. And that Jonathan Toews goal with 30 seconds to go could have potentially been, I don't want to overstate it, I don't want to say a career-defining moment, but certainly a season-defining moment. Like, your whole, they haven't even lost in regulation yet, and your whole season can come apart because of one goal if the Hawks were to score in overtime.
Like, when you think about goalies and goalies that have their moments, and they just, when you play the word association game or you think of images, to me, there's two that leap right off the page, and it's Kluche with the Lidstrom goal, and it's Tommy Salo against Belarus.
Yep,
I'm trying to think of one off the top of my head, because guess what? Yeah, Patrick Waugh could get lit up like a Christmas tree. So could Martin Brodeur. Find a Hall of Famer that won every year straight. It's borderline impossible. You got Ken Dryden, who left basically a perfect resume behind him when he left in 1980. But there aren't too many goalies. Eventually, you ride the coaster all the way to the top, and eventually there's a downfall. But
the Salo thing is a great example, because he had a, like, people roll their eyes like he's a punchline. He had an excellent career.
He was doing fine. I thought he was a mid-range, 10 to 15 goalie in the league.
Sure.
With the Islanders at the time. You know, there was a game in Detroit, Dallas in the Western Conference Finals when Chris Osgood, who had a reputation for letting long ones in, he let one in via Al MacInnis of the Blues in the previous series. And he let in a goal from Jamie Langenbrunner. I swear, Andrew, it's probably going 4 feet wide of the net. And it hits the butt end of his stick and deflects in. It's not going to be a shot on goal. And he takes it from beyond the blue line. And it goes in. But the next Friday night, that was a Wednesday night game, the Friday night game, I'm there, and he responds with a 30-save shutout, and they get through that series. It saved Matt Beleski, and what happened saved Anderson, because it's all we'd be talking about, right? I think, this morning.
I think we saw a similar scenario in round one, Tampa-Detroit, right? I mean, Ben Bishop in that game 4, a puck's going high and wide, and he bats it in his own net with the butt end of his stick. And Tampa looks finished. And the off-season conversation is going to be on Ben Bishop and how awful that goal was. But Tyler Johnson scores 2 goals, including the OT winner. And all of a sudden, Bishop has completely bounced back in the next 2 rounds, and good for him. And you're right. Some guy, like Kluche, is a great example. Because that was 1998. It was the first round.
2002.
2002.
Yep.
The goal from, okay.
Yep, they're up 2-0 in the series. They win both games in Detroit.
2-0 from the series. They're the 8th seed. They win both games in Detroit. They come home. They are leading.
I think they led 1-0. I think it's 1. It's either 1-0 or 1-1 on the goal
score.
It's
a tight game anyway. And then Lidstrom scores from center ice
at the end of the first period.
And Vancouver never won another game.
No.
Right?
No. It changed everything. And I, there still was a sense because they were so stacked and it was, you know, 7, 8, 9 Hall of Famers on the team. But look at this series here. You got 3 bona fide Hall of Famers that are going to the Hall in Chicago, and you got probably 2 on Anaheim and Getzlaff and Perry, and you got Kane,
not,
Taves,
if not,
and
if
you
not,
got May of 4 with Chicago, right? Hossa
yeah.
is going,
yeah.
I hope. So
Keith, Kane, and Taves.
Funny thing is, I looked it up on the Greek. So Stanley Cup odds to win the Stanley Cup. Tampa still has better odds than Anaheim, and I find that really intriguing because I guess the thought is that they're closer. They have a home game tonight. Chicago still has a game 6 at home. Tampa can basically take care of their business, and yet they would end up being on the road. I'm a little surprised. Now it's almost dead even, but I'm a little surprised that Anaheim is sort of neck and neck with Tampa for having the best odds to win the cup.
You know why, though? Because we see this, and right now we get into the conversation of, boy, this team's played a lot of hockey. They've played a lot of overtime hockey. They went on a deep run the year before.
Yeah.
And it feels like Tampa and Chicago are still going 7, and they're beating the bejesus out of each other. And if Tampa can win tonight and get a few more days, they're young, they have legs. Like I think Anaheim's been the best team in these playoffs, but I don't think it's just fait accompli that they roll over Tampa.
But they've had the best draw in the first 2 rounds.
Who?
Just think having
Anaheim?
Winnipeg and Calgary
sure.
is the best draw
sure.
you can possibly have. Chicago's had to play. Chicago's had to play Nashville out of the gate, right? And then Minnesota, that's trickier than what Anaheim's done.
And
I think
Anaheim's a better team. Like, Chicago is playing with 4D, and last night it was tough for them to play Teeminen. It was tough for them to play Kyle Komiski. And
yeah.
What's the storyline been of Anaheim? Desprez keeps getting better, and Fowler's playing the best hockey of his career, and there's Lindholm and Vatten, and these guys are... They're young. They're 24. They're 25, if not younger.
I don't know where I read it, but James Wisniewski's not playing for this team, right?
Right.
But he could be, right? Is he healthy?
Yeah.
I read that a German paper is covering this series, and the angle is always, why didn't Corbinian and Holzer play tonight? Like, that's the headline. It's like, Ducks win, Holzer sits again. It's fantastic. I'm like, of course he could play.
So
of course they could suit him up.
We were,
why not?
We'll ask Kelly Rudy about this, because I would bet you... Rudy might not be able to tell you, this is just a goalie thought, he might not be able to tell you his 5 most wonderful games in his career, but he could recall the 5 worst goals he's given up. I think that's almost like an athletic nature. I was thinking about bad goals in big spots, and I don't think anything trumps the Kluche and Tommy Salo in terms of, when I say this name, what do you think of?
Yeah.
But like, so it's 2000. And Owen Nolan's playing for the Sharks, and they get the Blues. First round, game 7, Nolan scores on Roman Turek from center ice. That ends up being the game winner. I don't know if you immediately associate Roman Turek with that goal, but I kind of associate the really good Blues teams that were never able to get it done with that moment.
And there were 4 powers then. The Blues were the 1 seed, Dallas, then Colorado, then Detroit. Those were the 4 sort of mega powers.
Sure.
And the Blues screwed up the seeding by losing that game. I remember seeing that live. Mike Vernon was the goalie for San Jose in that series, believe it or not.
Blues had great teams. Great teams.
They did.
And it was goals like that one on Turek. A couple other ones before we get to Kelly. So the worst goal I've ever seen, honestly, in a big spot, and he has a big enough name that this isn't instantly what you associate, it was 2003 Cup Final. Remember Sandis Ogelins on Martin Brodeur? Like, yep. It was a trickler, and somehow Brodeur puts it in his own net.
Yes.
Somehow. I mean, they end up winning the series and winning the cup in game 7.
But you're right. You don't. You have to. You need to get bailed out sometimes.
Yeah.
You do.
Marc-Andre Fleury World Jr. That took me years to get over that one.
I'm not sure you are yet. Goalies always do the bailing out, and then they look for a hand, and they got one. Like, the deeper, clearly to me, the deeper that overtime goes, the more you're thinking, the more the grip gets a little tighter for Anaheim, the more Anderson's in his crease thinking.
Sure, absolutely.
I mean, he didn't have to face a shot. He didn't have to face,
yeah. He was the most relieved guy in the building.
Absolutely, yeah. That it ended that fast. Matt Beleski got the goal. It's game 6 tonight in Tampa. The Lightning can clinch and go back to the Stanley Cup Finals. I was in the middle of cleaning up a drink yesterday, and I muttered something about their first trip ever to the Stanley Cup Finals. I was so rattled because there was soda water all over the floor. I know things. Tampa can win it tonight. Otherwise, it's back Friday night at Madison Square Garden. That would also be on CBC. The Rangers have been hard to kill, to quote the Steven Seagal movie, the last 2 years in the playoffs. Kelly Rudy joins us now from the panel down on Front Street. You'll see him on CBC tonight. Kelly, thanks for doing this, as always.
Yeah, my pleasure. How is everybody?
We're really good. We just saw a classic last night. Does that goalie instinct ever go away for you, where you know instantly how Freddie Anderson is feeling at a moment like that with 20? Like, they're one clearance away down the ice from wrapping up the game in regulation.
No, that feeling never goes away. And as you can imagine, not only does it not go away, but I just feel so badly for a guy that goes through that. And because you have all sorts of different emotions. Number one, how could have I let that terrible angle shot in? Number two, I blew it for the guys. All these different things that you try to guard against, and you tell yourself to let it go, push the erase button, all this kind of stuff. But it's awfully difficult because the head doesn't lie in those situations, and you just feel terrible. So for him, to get bailed out from his teammates was really awesome. And like I heard you guys saying, he didn't have to face a shot, didn't have to have that that moment where he's tested, and they did a great job of helping him out because he's been so great for them.
I wonder if it is human nature or goalie nature. I said to Greg, I said, I don't know if Kelly Rudy could tell us like his countdown his best performances ever, but I bet he could remember the most awful goals he gave
up. We could shake both out of him, I think.
Well, listen, I played 15 years in the NHL, so I've got a boatload of them. I don't think we have enough time, but you're right. You remember those probably more than anything. I do go back to my second year. And I think you guys will remember Patrick Sundstrom played for Vancouver at the time, centerman. And he literally scored from the faceoff dot in his own zone. So, and it was late in the game that I think made the score 3-2 for us. And I was, of course, I knew what to expect at that point. Every single time Vancouver had the puck, it didn't matter if they were on a line change, which Sundstrom was at the time. They were going to fire it down the other end at me. So I had to be ready for that. We luckily hung on 3-2, but plays, I've got something going on with my head.
It's a Patrick Sundstrom. The Patrick Sundstrom memory is clearly haunting.
It's 6 weeks in a hotel room. That's what this is. So. but those kind of things, you know, everybody goes through, and you have to find a way to overcome it. But it's awfully difficult, right? You're a teammate, and you feel that you've let your teammates down, and it's no different than if you're a centerman and you lose a draw and the other team puts in the game-winning goal because you lost the faceoff. I remember looking at some of my teammates in that situation, and they're crushed in the dressing room after. So it's all about picking each other up and trying to move forward.
And by the way, we just looked it up. You guys went in the same draft in 1980.
Oh,
isn't that special?
Really?
Well, he went in the ninth round, 175. You didn't have to wait that long. We know that.
No, holy cow! I didn't know that.
What a scoop! Because he was a good scorer. Sure,
he was a good player. Thank God for Hockey DB, right?
It's always
in our head.
It's in Walker's head. I have to look it up. Yeah, right. Walker memorizes it. I look it up.
Kelly Rudy joins us. Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590 The Fan and Sportsnet 360. So there was some controversy too, I guess if you want to call it that, on the OT winner. And I can't remember who made the point last night. It might have been Mike Johnson. So like you just said, after the Sundstrom goal goes in on you, they do nothing but shoot. So then we go into this first shift, and Johnny Oduya gets caught on the change because Brian Bickell needs to get the puck deep. And instead he wires a shot. It's such an easy dump in to make, goes off the shin pad, back the other way, 2-on-1, game's over.
Right.
Did that have anything to do with that? Like, would you agree that generally speaking, he's just chipping it deep, but maybe he is trying to get it on net there?
I think at that point, in all likelihood, he's trying to get it on net, and why wouldn't you? But turns out that it was not the right move. Boy, I've got something really going on with my with my throat. But
we won't keep you long.
I mean, that's the way hockey goes, right? I heard those guys talking about that after, and Twitter lit up with that, and people blaming Bickell. But I know it's a cliche, but it is a game of breaks and things turn that you don't expect. I mean, I think all of us would agree that we were expecting now Chicago is going to win that game early in overtime, and the other it happens the other way.
We are going back and forth a little bit. Is it more on Bickell or is it on Oduya? If you're Oduya, do you have to be sure, or when you're 10 feet from the bench and your guy has possession, you are just changing no matter what?
every circumstance is different, and depending on where you are in your shift and how long you've been out there and all those sorts of things. So I would say that it's more on Bickle, but, you know, I mean, as you guys know, everything happens so quickly, and it's so easy for us after the fact to say, hey, this is the definitive answer. But at the time, there's a lot of things that you're thinking about.
Quick thought on tonight, and then we'll let you blow. Henrik Lundqvist, 17 elimination starts. The last 17, 14-3, a 139 goals against, 956 save percentage. Is above all else, is he the key tonight?
No, I think, you know, one of the things that I'm always interested in Vigneault, he doesn't give you the best pressers, that's for sure, but one thing he likes to stress is about making plays under pressure and at tempo. And I think for Rangers, that's what it's going to be tonight, because we know Tampa's going to be coming at them hard, and the Rangers got to continue to make plays. For the most part, I think they've been the better team in this series, but Tampa's found a way to capitalize. So in this one today, of course, Lundqvist is important, but I still think it's the Rangers. If they get momentum, find a way to keep it, because that's the one thing. Tampa's been able to do one thing, one special play, it seems, at the right time, and that's turned the series for them.
Kelly, great stuff as always. Oh, by the way, today is Sing Your Favorite Song Day on Brady and Walker. So you have three. I'm just kidding. We're not going to make you use your voice anymore.
This throw, that'd be a good idea.
Yeah, launch right into Wonderwall if you feel like it. All right, we'll be watching tonight, and all the best. We'll look forward to it this evening on CBC, 8 o'clock.
You got it. Thanks, boys.
It's Kelly Rudy joining us on Brady and Walker. Should we send someone to check on him in 20 minutes?
He'll be okay. It's playoff time. He'll be
fine.
Does
our intern Aaron want to take a Uber car down there and just make sure he's all right? I think I know where he's staying.
See, he was going back and forth a little bit on the OT goal. He said he'd lean Bickle, and I would too.
I would too.
But I mean, I read your Twitter last night.
It's an instant reaction because it's a 2-on-1.
No, but you said you watched five times. You didn't know what Oduya was doing.
Well, I have a black and white television in my own room, so the numbers are really hard. It's like the Ballard era. It's really hard to read the numbers.
Like, to me, it's Oduya is obviously gassed. It's the end of a long shift, and
it's 45 seconds.
He's
that's
on
the goal goes in.
He's on that side of the ice.
It's a long change.
15 feet from the bench. And Brian Bickle is ready to dump it in. Like, I don't for a second, not for a second blame it. Like, it's such a terrible play by Brian Bickle to not get it deep. And the only thing, again, I can think of is if they were told right off the bat, if you're going to dump it in, waste a shot on goal. Just waste it. Because Freddie Anderson is obviously, he's thinking about that.
It's about the most fortunate rebound you can get, too. It was off Kessler's initial shot. It's a great bounce. We'll talk to Don Maloney, by the way, from MSG at 3:15 a little later on to talk about the Rangers in Tampa tonight, Game 6. The Jays do go back at it tonight. It's Game 2 of a series. They'll play daytime game tomorrow. We should remind folks we are probably...
I can't believe it.
Just stop it. We're coming on to the end, probably, of the game on Sportsnet 590. The Fan. We'll try and outsnark Wilner in the post game. How long was last night's game? 2 hours and 20 minutes? 2 hours and 18 minutes?
Not even. I believe it was. It was gonna be.
I'll look up the time.
It was gonna be sub 2 hours, and then the eighth inning was a long one.
It was a little bit longer
for the Blue Jays, and so it was like 2:13 or something.
But we're off air tomorrow, but we will be on television on Sportsnet 360 and on the web at sportsnet.ca/590. But Jays have a chance tonight with R.A. Dickey to tie their season-long win streak. And that would be
2-10 was the final 2-10. Count last night. That's a quick game.
We know they're going to have to go on runs of more than winning 3 games in a row, and they haven't even done that yet. This was a team that had lost 8 of 11. You wake up Saturday morning and you think, okay, they've lost 8 of 11. The pitching's been okay. Jose Bautista's not playing today because he needs a cortisone shot and is expected back tonight. We'll let you know during the course of our show whether indeed he is or not. But some modicum of positivity with last night, and we'll talk to Drew Hutchison after 2 o'clock because that was the kind of start that was a lot more commonplace last year for Drew, and we're only in May. There's 4 entire months plus a little bit of potential for October baseball. There's 4 entire months to go the rest of the season for Drew Hutchison to look like that, and he's not going to every night, but he looked that way last night five or six times last year in starts, didn't he?
Yeah, and I know the White Sox can't hit. They're one of the worst hitting teams in the American League. But you got to take advantage. And Drew Hutchison was really good last night. I mean, anytime you can throw a Maddux, right, where we're looking complete game, shutout, under 100 pitches.
Is that a new thing this year?
That's pretty special.
I wanted to ask that.
No, it's been around for a long time.
Never heard it before.
You've never heard it before?
I've never heard of a Maddux. No.
Greg,
sorry.
He won some Cy Youngs playing for Atlanta.
Yes,
had a brother.
Thank you.
Steve.
Yes. Can we get a resume in here for me off of Greg Maddux? A Wikipedia page?
It's been around for a long time.
I know who he is. Why call it a Maddux? Why not a Carlton? Why not a Ryan?
Because he did it 13 times, which is like more than double the guy that did it second most times.
Okay, so. Either way.
It was a great performance. And you're right. It's back-to-back wins. Yippee. And tonight, it's R.A. Dickey, and it's a good matchup. For him, obviously, he's coming off a great start, a complete game himself. I said yesterday that, and it's still just a feeling, if you will. I think, because the magic number right now, like the big number is 3.5. Despite everything that's gone wrong, the Jays are sitting there 3.5 games back of the division-leading Tampa Bay Rays. And it's really, at this point, the only number that matters. And I know they split with the Angels and lost 2 of 3 to the Mariners, and now have the opening win here. It's been a win-one, lose-one thing. But I sense a bit of a run is coming, and it's because the starting pitching has really corrected itself over the last 10 days or so.
Okay, so I do agree. The starting pitching's room for positivity. Gives you some.
This is their seventh consecutive really good start.
It is, yeah. So I think they need the next two desperately. My concern in going to, you go to Minnesota. Minnesota has been a very good home team. Washington's been a very good home team.
Sure.
Tricky thing is with the interleague is regardless of Bautista's fate, the Jays are a very DH reliant team, aren't they? I mean, you're giving up one or the other potentially, unless you can have Bautista play right field and Edwin play first base, and he's been playing plenty of first base. Ideally,
that's the plan. That would be the plan.
Yeah, Bautista can get back in the field. But you're still going to need Edwin at first base to play those three games in Washington. Then after that, if all normalizes with Jose, and we're still nowhere near thinking that's a probability, let alone a possibility, then you've got room for it. But you're right. They should shut down. I looked at that lineup that Chicago threw up last night, and literally, and I wasn't terribly impressed. You know, Eaton's one of the weakest leadoff hitters in the American League. Gordon Beckham's been batting second forever in that organization. I don't get the Gordon Beckham thing. Melky third. Abreu looks a lot more human than he did last year. A lot more human than he did last year in the cleanup spot. And they're not getting much from the bottom of the order at all.
And, you know, they have to face Jeff Samardzija in the third game of the series. But they do miss Chris Sale. And again, tonight's a big start for R.A. Dickey again, just like last time was. I mean, he's kind of used a lot of his mulligans. Right? Like, it had gotten to the point where there's a lot of people worried that R.A. Dickey has lost what has made him effective in his older age. Now, we had Greg Zahn on last week before that start, and he said, at the end of the year, R.A. Dickey's going to have 15 wins and 200 innings, and his ERA is going to be between, you know, 3.75 and 4. If that happens, like if he gets all the way back to there, the Jays are in pretty good shape.
It's a doubleheader tonight, White Sox, Jays, and then Detroit, Oakland also on Sportsnet 1. So the games are on Sportsnet 1, Oshawa, Kelowna on Sportsnet at 7:30. And as we mentioned with Kelly Rudy, Rangers, Tampa at 8 o'clock. We'll talk a lot more about that. Coming up next, a tragedy on a baseball field in the United States yesterday may have some calling for change again. And the first pitch was thrown out by a country music star on Sunday. Why was it not a strike if he has a baseball resume? We'll ask him himself next. It's Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, and Sportsnet 360.
As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake doctor's orders. Sportsnet 590, The Fan, on demand. Now more Brady and Walker. On your TV at Sportsnet 360, online at sportsnet.ca/590, and on your radio at Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
By the way,
girl, I knew
just so we're talking here, the Buffalo Bisons will play Indianapolis tonight at Coca-Cola Field. And guess who's in the lineup? Deonner Navarro will play for the Bisons tonight. Who do you like in that game, Walker?
Oh, predictions?
Indianapolis or, yeah.
It's, yeah, it'll be good. So Reyes is back last night, leads off with the double, look pretty good. Mm-hmm. And at least Navarro will be an upgrade on Josh Toley, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, indeed. So we'll talk to Gord Bamford in a little bit. He was here as part of Country Day on Sunday, as you've put it, your World Series.
Yep.
Wouldn't it be funny
biggest,
if Country
biggest day
Day
of the year.
Well, wouldn't it be funny if that turned the season around for the Blue Jays and they vaulted themselves
would
into
not,
a playoff spot for the first time?
Would not surprise me.
All because of,
they should. Like I said, they should have more Country Days.
Have Country Day earlier now. Why not Blues Day? What's wrong?
Nope.
Like what R&B?
Nope. Maybe you can.
I don't
be
even
the
go on 80s
if they
Day.
Have crappy 80s music day. They'll play some Wham and
first
some
of all,
Bananarama for you.
That's an oxymoron. And the second thing.
Some Prince and all the songs that nobody knows.
All right, we'll have to get serious about this story. This is an awful story from Bemidji, Minnesota, which I know from the last series of Fargo. So that's pretty far north in the state of Minnesota. That's where they set it. And Bemidji State Hockey, etc. But yesterday, a 15-year-old baseball player died after being struck by a ball in that city. The president of the Bemidji Youth Baseball League says this boy had moved so he could play baseball in Bemidji. You got to imagine, you know, he's probably out in the rural area pretty deep and then moved a little bit closer. And a Sunday at the Bemidji High School field, this young man, Zachary Schaubert, was pitching and was struck by a ball that a batter hit, and he died later at the hospital. It's awful. We have yet to see in Major League Baseball. We've seen things that we might even look at, Andrew, and we say, how did that man walk away? The Jay Happ thing is one. Bryce Flory had an awful incident. There have been several awful incidents in Major League Baseball. With youth baseball especially, and I don't know if he's as closer than 60 feet 6 inches, but they have a picture of him in the story, and it's heartbreaking, the AP story. I don't know what to say about this other than
403.
I don't know what to say about this other than the fact we've got a scenario where you're looking to... we're always looking to protect kids, no question. We do a better job than we used to. We do a way better job than we used to with most of the sports that we have. But is it unfortunate, and I don't even think it's callous, but maybe it's practical to say, this is an awful death. I don't know how you avoid it. You can't. Kids will go out and play baseball, and they're going to play basketball, and they're going to, like a kid could have had the Steph Curry fall last night on pavement, and gotten paralyzed. What are we supposed to do?
It's not insensitive to think that way. It's an awful story. It's an awful story. But there's a difference between things you can't control and things you can. Like, sometimes we can learn. Brittany Cecil back in...
it was 98, 99.
Mid to late 90s, gets hit by a puck at a Columbus Blue Jackets game, and it does something, and later on she dies. We put up the nets. And you kind of look at each other and say, how did we ever live without the nets? Goalies used to not wear masks. There's some things that are common sense, but there's also an element of, there's a small element of risk that comes with playing sports, right? Like we talked about, and we kind of joked about it the other day, but it is like thousands of people die on treadmills in America.
Yeah.
Right? It's way more dangerous than playing baseball, but what are we going to ban treadmills? You can't.
How about trampolines? I mean, we're you know, very, very dangerous thing to have in your backyard.
Sure.
And people have
and
them.
We've and seen
pool incidents. You can't
adjustments to it, right? Like people have the tower. Like it sounds insensitive to say because it's a terrible story. But people drowned, right? We you can't ban swimming.
No, I know there's a professional cricket player that got killed last year. I don't know. Like if someone comes up to me and says, hey, should baseball pitchers wear helmets at a certain age? Maybe so, but probably not at 15. You can't, you can't have that thing on your head when you're going through the motion, which is such an unnatural emotion anyway. If we're going to keep having baseball, I'm fine if, I know Cliff Floyd came in and talked to Jeff Blair last year, the former major leaguer, the former Marlin, former Expo, has a prototype for a protective cap. And we all know that the caps kind of look silly, but we've got to get past that. You might think it looked silly at first for the netting to be up. I remember taking calls on my show way back when. That was probably more like 2001 that happened. And people were like, well, I pay for season tickets and I won't be able to see anything. Nobody gives it a second thought. Whether you sit behind the net or sit on the side of the rink, you barely notice it's there. You're thankful it's there a lot of the time with some of the deflections, that it is there, right?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You would never have known that if you were an alien and you came down, you were like, wait a minute, you guys had, like, when you see old video of games, you see the low glass, you see people, like guys could lean over and grab you, let alone the damage a puck or stick could do.
There's a small part of me, because you go to a Jays game, and some of those foul balls are just lashed into the stands, which is just as dangerous as pitching and getting a comebacker sometimes. Sometimes it amazed me there hasn't been a bigger outcry for more netting. And I don't want to see it because I want to enjoy the game. And you're, you know, they have the netting behind, but anywhere else you do have time to react to something. Sometimes you have to chalk it up as a fluke, right? And it's a terrible story out of Bemidji, but we can't. You can't put water wings on your kids walking around all day. You just can't do it sometimes.
Brandon McCarthy had this tweet. Remember, he had an emergency brain surgery. Got hit by a line drive. Same thing as, you know, you're talking about a ball. Like, that, they're throwing it at 90. It's coming back to you at about 130. We got a picture of Matt Torres of the, this is the Brandon McCarthy incident.
Right,
it's
right.
Beyond, like, you, it is beyond cringeworthy.
Right, we saw Jay Happ, the same thing happened to him. Yeah.
All the blood that he lost from it. So Brandon McCarthy tweeted when this happened, anyone taking the hardline stance, pitcher should be wearing helmets, need to get out their toolkits and make a good one. There's nothing acceptable out there, so the discussion at this point is worthless. And
right.
They're right. I mean, there's people still trying to make better hockey helmets, and there's Torres from the Mets,
look at that.
No, I know, but we got to get past the silliness of it, like it's like you're a chef or something. And,
no,
and in all seriousness,
no, we're going to have a better model.
I know, but it's a start. If he feels comfortable in it, like, I can't tell you that I wouldn't wear it. If I'm Jay Happ, how often have I woke up dreaming about that in the last 2 years? Probably
what?
30.
If you're Jay, I don't know.
30 times probably. It'd be easily the most frightening thing he's ever gone through.
I agree and I disagree, but you're right. Until there's a better model, I mean, you know, we can't be putting full cages on our kids. It's just too much. So, as mentioned, Country Day. So I'm there on Sunday. Country music star, good friend of ours, Gord Bamford, threw out the first pitch. And I know we have the viz of it. And this was something Gord joins us now that he's probably waited his whole life for, being on a major league mound and ceremonial first pitch.
Walking with Ace, I think, alone.
Oh,
it's
sure.
So exciting to walk with the
mascot.
So, as we're watching it.
He was a little nervous, obviously, and he sails it, as you're seeing there on the TV, and hits a camera guy in the leg as well. Like, I don't know what did happen, Gord.
Hey, guys. I'm glad I got to take this call with you. It feels great. You know what? It was pretty cool to be on the mound, a major league mound, but I don't think I've ever been that nervous in my life, to be honest with you. It was it's a whole different thing when you. I didn't think it would be a big deal, but I could hardly grip the baseball.
See, and I was the guy pumping your tires a little bit, standing there in the outfield because I mean, we've seen a lot of bad first pitches, and most of them from guys that weren't athletes. But what I was telling everyone is, I don't know if you knew this, still trivia time. Gord Bamford, Canadian Country Music Artist of the Year, was actually a pretty good baseball player, is a good baseball player, played a little professionally, played in a league that I played against, a pretty good player, Greg.
Yeah, yeah.
And he still hit a cameraman.
You wouldn't think so. At least I didn't one hop it in there and got it all the way in.
Yeah, that's what, there was velocity behind that pitch. And again, there wasn't much of a warm up. Like, you didn't go to your hand. You didn't, you know, you weren't looking runners back. You just reared back and fired.
To be honest with you, I was just trying to get it over and done with. I was, like I said, it was, I never imagined it would be that kind of nerve wracking. You know, you get a chance. I mean, I play music to lots of people and, you know, it never really gets that bad.
So
I'm not sure I'd do it again, put it that way.
You wrote a song and made a video of a song called Baseball Glove, and you name-check Roy Halladay in it. You name-check the glove maker Rawlings. Tell me about the genesis of that song.
Well, I got a text from the guy from Rawlings saying he'd like the glove, but not so much the pitch. So obviously, as you know, I grew up a big ball fan and played a lot of ball, and you know, still my kids are involved in it, and I still play little men's, and you know, you're either a, you know, a hockey player or a ball player, both coming from Alberta or being from Canada. Yeah, it was just an opportunity to write a Christmas song around that, and I wrote it with a guy from Nashville. And the timing on it was kind of crazy because it was right during the trade with Halliday.
And, oh yeah, and, okay.
Yeah, so it was we didn't know that was going to happen, but you know, actually, I seen a couple quotes from Roy about the song, which I thought was pretty cool.
It didn't rhyme as well if you switched it to Sean Markham, right, or Jesse Litch. Not much rhymes with Litch. Well, a couple things do.
That'd be a tough one to write.
Yeah. Gord Banford joins us, Brady and Walker. So with your baseball ties and your sports fandom here in Canada, I know you've developed some relationships with some Blue Jays, past and present. Mm-hmm. There's a real good article right now on sportsnet.ca on one of your good buddies, J.P. Arencibia, who is now trying mm-hmm. to catch on in the Tampa Bay Rays organization. Now that it's all kind of gone and it's all in the past, maybe more recently for him than he'd like, where do you think JP's headspace is over the last couple of years and how everything went down here in Toronto?
You know, I'm not sure, but I mean, first of all, I know JP pretty good, and you know, he's a great guy. He's a great community guy. You know, he's a heck of an athlete. But it could be not unlike trying to throw a pitch out at a ball game that you think's real simple. I mean, you start thinking about stuff and it gets in your head and you know, mentally it can really bring you to a different level, you know. And I don't know what happened with him or what's going to happen with him. I do know that he's a great person and you know, he works his butt off, and I'd have no doubt that, you know, he'd be back up in the big leagues anytime soon, I would think.
I know another guy that you're fairly tight with is Jose Bautista, doing his golf tournament stuff. What are you seeing with him and his arm, and have you heard anything that we haven't?
Yeah, not really, probably nothing different from you guys. I know that obviously shoulder is bugging him, but I mean, you know, Jose's another one of those great guys that I don't think I've ever met a guy that's that big of a competitor. So he's very, very intelligent and smart, and I'm sure that he's just doing what's best for the team and making sure that he's, you know, not hurt long term and can get back into the outfield or into the lineup as soon as possible.
Well, congrats on the first pitch. Hopefully, yeah, you get to maybe do it again and get some retribution. What's next for you? I know you're moving to Nashville. When's the new stuff come out?
Yeah, I'm just here now in Nashville. Just we just bought a place here and our family's moving down, which is a big move for us. And the new record's done and the Canadian release is going to happen in September, right out of the Country Music Awards, which are in Halifax this year. And then we'll have some stuff released here in the U.S. in the next few months. So yeah, it's a big step, but you know, obviously, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to do is pursue the American market. And here we are doing it. So, you know, I don't want to sit there 5 years from now and say I didn't try. So.
Beautiful ballpark down there too. Can you get to AAA games? You know exactly where it is, I'd bet. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not sure they'll be calling me up anytime soon for the mound, but
you never know.
Yeah, they got a great park. It's brand new here, and I check some of the Sounds games out once in a while.
Yeah, they're the A's farm team. We can't thank you enough for coming on. We wish you the best, and we hope we're able to stay in touch with you. It was a great moment Sunday, and a lot of folks enjoyed it. Thanks for this.
All right, thanks a lot, guys.
There's Gord Banford, of course, Alberta-born country music artist, award-winning artist, down in Nashville right now. And we didn't, you know, again, there are worse first pitches. We weren't mocking him for that.
There are worse first pitches.
But not
very many guys throw the first pitch. Like, have a decent. Right. Baseball resume.
Yeah, Mariah Carey didn't injure anyone when it just kind of fell out of her hand. Well, she might have running off the field.
Who's the Canadian girl that threw it out in Tampa?
Avril Lavigne? Did she go down there? No.
Carly Rae Jepsen.
And she had a bad throw?
Oh, I think she almost hit her foot.
But again, Lavigne had a terrible throw. Carey had a terrible throw.
Right. 50 Cent had a... At Citi Field, threw it into the other dugout.
Yeah, but you know, you tell him he had a terrible throw. I'm not doing it.
Great job.
The Jays rotation's improving. We'll talk about that. Jose Bautista's health as well. At around 2:15, we'll get into Golden State Houston last night. The Rockets are alive, but are they really? Golden State lost the game, but the controversy will still remain should Steph Curry have come back and played? And we'll dive right into it. Again, busy slate on Sportsnet tonight with the Jays White Sox on Sportsnet 1. You've got Oshawa looking to go 3-0 in the Memorial Cup. That's on Sportsnet beginning at 7:30. And, of course, on CBC, we've got Rangers Lightning at 2 o'clock, or at 8 o'clock. Our 2 o'clock hour is next on Brady and Walker, Sportsnet 590, The Fan, Sportsnet 360.